on Talking Lifestyle, the 50 Up Club Show.
Now, saving for retirement is a multi-decade investing venture, even for those approaching retirement. Actuaries in 2015 stated there is a 70% chance that one of a 65-year-old couple will reach 90 years of age, meaning that even retirement is a multi-decade investing proposition. We're all living longer. Many 50 Up Club members are in retirement or approaching it, or have children in the early stages of accumulating their retirement nest egg. Now, according to Gary Stone, he's the author and founder of ShareWell Systems, there are three big mistakes that people make when saving for retirement. We've got Gary on the phone. G'day.
Yeah, it's good to be with you again, Katie.
Yeah, you too. Thanks so much for your time. Now, people make the top three mistakes when they're looking at saving for their retirement. What's number one?
Well, the first one is that they don't give much attention to what kind of fund they should invest in when they're faced with a form, just probably a one-page or two-page form when they join a new company, and they have to tick a box as to which fund they should invest their guaranteed super contributions into. And the stats tell us that 75% of people, regardless of age, tick the balanced fund or diversified fund option.
And what does that mean for a layperson? What's the balanced fund option?
Well, basically what that means is that the fund will apportion the contributions across a number of different asset classes, mainly being stock market, bonds, infrastructure, private equity, listed property trusts or listed property. And what that means is that you're going to get a balanced return over the long term. Now, that might sound pretty good common sense to most people, but as most things that happen in investing, is it's actually a paradox. It's for long-term, multi-decade investing, that is a huge, huge mistake.
So in the short term, that would represent less risk, but because superannuation is a long-term, a very long-term investment, you can afford to take a little more risk.
That's exactly right. And you know, what all the research is showing us, now that we've got over 20 years, over two decades of returns of what super funds get, and obviously we've got many more decades of what returns the stock market gets, is that it's now becoming plainly obvious that people that, particularly in their 20s, 30s, and 40s, and even in their early 50s, should not be investing in a balanced fund, but should be investing the majority, if not all, of their contributions into a stock market index.
And so is that known as a growth fund?
Well, even in a growth fund, so typically that's where people end up. So if you look at the boxes, one of the boxes would be a growth fund.
Mm.
Now, a growth fund is invested through the combined of the confines of an industry super fund or a retail super fund isn't a good option either, because what they do is they go and pick stocks, so they don't necessarily follow the index. And what research is finding now is the growth funds within the confines of retail and industry super funds underperform the index for two reasons. One is the people that are selecting the stocks and putting them across a set of diversified listed companies, as well as the much, much higher fees that are paid to do that, end up underperforming the stock market index.
So which is the box you should tick? We just want to double check we tick the right one, Kaylee.
Yeah, I don't think I did.
You shouldn't tick any of them.
Do you think, would it be fair to say, Gary, that you know when you do start a new job, and particularly, I guess, when you're young and you get that form and you tick that box, that you're just sort of thinking, I have to do this, it's a compulsory thing, I'm just going to tick it, whatever, and then you forget about it. But when you think about how much money is involved, it's your money, it's your investment, it's going to see you through a long time, we should be taking it a lot more seriously.
Absolutely, Kaylee. And you know what I tell people is that it's the biggest financial decision they will ever make. It's bigger than buying a house or a motor car, by hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars bigger. When people buy a house, surely the value of the house is large, but the value is the value. The savings come from the percentage interest that you might pay on your mortgage, and that's normally 0.5% here, 1% there, or some people, when the interest rates are high, it might be as much as 2 or 3, but that might turn into a few tens of thousands of dollars over 20 or 30 years. The superannuation, by going into a balanced fund, we're talking about 20, 30, 40 years. You're talking about hundreds, if not over $1 million difference in your final lump sum if you just stay with that balanced fund for the rest of your life.
When you consider that, you know, so many people are short on superannuation, they've only got a couple of $100,000 in there, that's a massive difference.
It's huge. So what box should they tick?
Well, yeah.
That option typically isn't open to people who just go into an industry super fund or a retail super fund. The box they should be ticking, I will admit that somebody who's just starting out or in their late teens or early 20s, this option probably isn't a great option. But once you start getting into your late 20s and 30s, this should be the option, and that is investing in an exchange-traded fund.
Now, explain exchange-traded funds.
So it's an ETF.
That's an ETF. That's exactly right. So Clinton came up with the acronym. It's an exchange-traded fund is basically a fund. So a super fund, a retail industry super fund, is a fund. An ETF is a fund. But its whole purpose in life is just to track the stock market index. And what the research shows through not only my research, but third parties such as Standard & Poor's, Dow Jones Indices, who are the custodians of the indices, is that over periods of longer than 6-7 years, there's hardly a managed fund or a mutual fund or a balanced fund or an industry super fund or a retail fund, hardly a single one anywhere in the world that beats the major stock market index for the country in which they invest.
And that's where your second mistake comes into play, falling for fee-loving financial establishments, and then that's where the ETF is the answer.
Correct, because ETF fees are around about, if you're comparing it to an industry super fund, an ETF fee is around about 2.5 times to 7 times less per annum is what you pay in ETF fees to what you'd pay in an industry super fund. In a retail super fund, it's as much as 12 to 14 times less fees per annum.
And the superannuation fund would then need to outperform the stock market by that amount with the fees on top to be the same as the ETF, wouldn't it?
Correct,
yeah.
Correct. And which means now the stock market is the highest, is the best performing asset class. Now, when you get into a balanced fund which has distributed the money across multiple asset classes, and those other asset classes over time all perform worse than the stock market, so they can't. It's just not going to happen. The diversification puts a handbrake on long-term returns, as well as the extra fees they're paying. And the combination of those two is what adds up to the hundreds of thousands, if not over $1 million, in underperformance over the long term.
Mistake number three?
Well, mistake number three is compounding the problem, where people actually go to a financial advisor and pay additional fees on top of the fees that they're going to pay to a fund. Now, this typically doesn't apply to industry super funds because they don't have an advising network that feeds people into them, but it certainly does in retail super funds, where you go to an advisor and what they'll do is say, go into this fund over here for your super and even these funds outside of your super, and what they do is they put a trading fee on top of the fees that you would pay, and that just compounds the problem even more.
So you're paying them fees, plus you're paying more fees for them to do essentially the same thing.
Correct. Absolutely.
And
it just gets worse and worse. And so what people are actually confounded by all the jargon and the difficulty and the complexity of the stock market. And what exchange-traded funds have done is just made the whole game a lot more simple for people to follow if they just spend some time getting to understand this at the outset.
Gary Stone is the author and founder of Share Wealth Systems and also the author of Blueprint2Wealth.com. If you'd like to know more information, you can go to his website, blueprint2wealth.com. Gary, thank you so much for your time. Really appreciate those tips, and we look forward to talking to you again soon.
It's a pleasure, Kaylee and Clinton. Thank you for having me on.